Microsoft Windows has long dominated the desktop PC space, but the rise of smartphones and tablets means that about half of all computing devices that have shipped in recent years have been running Google Android software. But there are some things that are still easier to do with a desktop operating system.
Every now and then, I leave the computer at home and I try to go write with a tablet, which actually works out just fine. But if I have to do anything complicated, anything more than just typing words on a screen, I tend to leave the tablet behind and just use the computer.
In the future, the distinction between desktop and mobile operating systems might disappear altogether. Microsoft has brought some support for desktop-style apps to Windows 10 phones, and a company called Jide is working to turn Android into a desktop operating system.
It's 100% Android, so you get the whole Android ecosystem, Google Play, and all the apps. But then you're running it in a PC environment where you have taskbar, multi-window, and the key thing is to have a keyboard and mouse support.
Coming up on LPX, can an operating system designed for smartphones power a desktop PC experience? Welcome to LPX. I'm Brad Linder. There are more than 7 billion people on planet Earth, and about 40% of them have internet access. That means more than 4 billion people aren't online yet. But the gap is closing, thanks to smartphones.
The next billion people coming online, what operating system are they going to use? Most likely, they will be using an Android smartphone.
That's David Ko, co-founder of a Chinese startup called Jide. We'll hear more from him in a little bit, but first let's take a look at why he thinks Android smartphones are so important. Smartphones are everywhere you look in the US, Europe, and other developed markets. They're small, convenient tools that we can use to keep in touch, stay informed, or entertain ourselves. But in developing countries that don't already have millions of miles of cable or telephone wires, it's also a lot easier to deliver internet access using wireless towers, which is why the smartphone is often the first and maybe the only point of access that many people have to the internet. As for the Android component, well, these things could change, but as of early 2016, according to research from Gartner, around the world about 80% of mobile phones and tablets are running Google's Android software. Apple's iOS comes in second place with just under 18%. The numbers are a little bit closer to 50% for Android and 40% for iOS in the United States. Anyway, when David Ko says he thinks the next billion people connecting to the internet will be using Android, there's a good chance that he's right. And there are other good reasons why people in some countries, including India, Brazil, and Turkey, might use a smartphone before they ever touch a laptop or desktop computer.
When looking at what that first digital device, internet access device is going to be, the smartphone is in many instances just a more practical tool.
Ross Rubin is Senior Director of Industry Analysis at App Annie, a research firm that tracks mobile app usage and revenue.
It often requires less power to operate in some of these economies. For example, electricity is at a premium. You know, there are apps that can help farmers, for example, with news and forecasting, or help medical personnel or community workers access health resources in some of these economies. So, you know, the PC has a lot of great advantages, particularly for productivity tasks, you know, for professional tasks. But, you know, for many of these economies, many of the people in these economies, the smartphone really becomes a critical gateway to the internet and this world of digital resources.
App Annie projects that revenue from mobile apps will double to more than $100 billion by 2020. And that's largely because of the huge number of new internet users expected to come online in the next 4 years. We're also seeing companies like Microsoft and Adobe develop mobile versions of apps like Office and Photoshop, letting you get some work done on a phone or a tablet. But Ruben points out that there are still some things that you can do on a traditional PC that are tough to do with a smartphone.
Particularly in corporate settings, there's a lot of collaboration going on where, you know, the phone apps are just not really up to that level of sophistication. For example, if you use Excel and you're really a diehard Excel, you know, a hardcore Excel user, I mean, there are a lot of features available in the Windows version that aren't even available in the Mac version, you know, in terms of cross tabs and advanced analytics like that.
Even simple activities can be tricky when you're using a mobile operating system. As science fiction and fantasy writer, journalist, and gadget geek Kay Tempest Bradford discovered, even basic things like writing can be hard to do on a mobile device.
I sometimes try as a writer to do some writing on the tablet because it just seems like I could be less distractible on the tablet. I purposefully have not loaded all of the social media apps on it. I tend to keep only apps on it that are like work-related or productivity-related. So every now and then I leave the computer at home and I try to go write with a tablet, which actually works out just fine. But if I had to do anything complicated, anything more than just typing words on a screen, I tend to leave the tablet behind and just use the computer, only because even though the tablet is a nice, you know, has some nice productivity aspects to it, it's still, the operating system is still set up for touch. It's not easily set up to like move between two apps at the same time, cut and paste, like it's there, but it's not great. There are all these, it's like little things that annoy me that then I say, no, I got to go back to the computer.
I know the feeling. I love mobile devices and I use my smartphone to read the news every morning while I eat breakfast. 15 years ago, I wrote most of the text for my master's thesis by taking a PDA with a 3-inch black and white display with me to a coffee shop, connecting it to a keyboard and tapping out text all day. But when I got home, I'd copy everything I'd written to a desktop computer so I could edit and format that text properly. Things are starting to get a little better for people trying to use smartphones and tablets for productivity. Microsoft's Continuum for Phone software lets you plug a Windows 10 smartphone into a keyboard, mouse, and display to run some applications on a larger screen. And some other mobile operating systems are starting to gain true multitasking support too. Apple's recent iPads let you view two applications at the same time. Samsung's let Android users do this on some of its phones and tablets for a while, and it's likely that Google's going to add multi-window support to future versions of Android. But for the most part, mobile operating systems handle multi-window features differently than the way desktop operating systems like Windows or Mac OS do. Lori Gill is a writer for iMore, a blog covering Apple news, and she's also been a contributor to my website, lilliputing.com, in the past. Even though Apple's tablets can now show two apps at once, she says it can be hard to get real work done on an iPad.
Two windows side by side is great, but when you have, when you're used to using four or five windows, you know, the side by side feature just doesn't, it's just as useless as not having a side by side feature. So,
yeah, I have to agree with that.
That's Kay Tempest Bradford again, a longtime Android user and a fan of Samsung's Galaxy Note phones and tablets, particularly because of their support for handwriting input with a digital pen.
That was one of the big things that Samsung touted once they started doing like the bigger tablets and splitting windows side by side and having more than one application on the screen. And while it does make some things easier, for instance, if you're researching in one window and you just want to copy the text into, you know, a text file so that you can keep a note of where you read something, it is sometimes nice to like split the windows and not have to like switch back and forth between them the way that Android wants you to. That can be pretty nice, but it's definitely, you know, like a janky solution as opposed to the more elegant ones that we have on PCs and Macs.
Mm-hmm. So Laura, you've been testing the Pixel C, which is the latest Android tablet from Google. And it's designed to look and feel more like a laptop. It's got a high-quality keyboard, a nice build quality. It's designed so you can use it like a laptop or like a tablet. But again, it's running Android, an operating system that's really designed for touch. So what's that been like, trying to use that for work?
I tried two separate types of productivity experiences. One being I tried to write a regular article, which was great, actually. The multitasking... So that feature is great because you can quickly grab an application you were just in and switch back and forth. So if I'm writing an article and I needed to get what was the name of that event that I'm supposed to be writing about, I just tap that Recents tab and I don't even have to go to it. I can still see the window, so I can see the name of the event, let's say, go right back into the documents application I was working in. I found Android to work really well in that regard for just the writing part of it. And then this morning, I did a sort of my normal morning routine of getting on the internet, doing some research, finding some articles to write. And that I felt really uncomfortable with. I felt like I couldn't figure out where everything was, or I had to go to a separate application to access it. Not that I had to, but that I wanted to. Or if I tried going on using the Chrome web browser, I would get this little pop-up that said, do you want to look at this on an app? Download the app instead. And that's really distracting when, you know, I just want to get through this stuff. I don't want to open a new app and download a new app for every, you know, social networking site or RSS feed that I use, or, you know, but I'm constantly getting this reminder that you're not using the internet, you're using a tablet. So you open up all these different apps in order to access things better.
Okay, so notebook and desktop-style computers with desktop operating systems are better for some things than mobile phones and tablets with mobile operating systems. Shocking, I know. But what does that mean for the next billion users that David Ko was talking about? Are they going to start off with Android and then switch to Windows, Mac, or Linux computers if and when they want to start using a keyboard and mouse? Maybe. But Ko has another idea. It's called Remix OS.
It's 100% Android, so you get the whole Android ecosystem, Google Play, and all the apps. But then you're running it in a PC environment where you have taskbar, multitasking, multi-window, and the key thing is to have a keyboard and mouse support. Now, even though Android, a lot of Androids are built with touch experience, we have built it with or without touch experience, so we can use a mouse to simulate a touch.
Ko and the two other co-founders of Jide used to work as software engineers at Google, but they left the company to start Jide in 2014 to focus on turning Google's smartphone and tablet operating system into something that you could comfortably use on a notebook or a desktop computer.
Back in mid to late 2013, Jeremy, one of the co-founders of Jide, he bought a Windows 8 computer for his dad. And his dad used it for 2 days and then called him up and said, son, I don't know how to use this operating system. And he has been using Windows for 20 years and still doesn't understand the new form factor. So that sparked an idea from Jeremy and say, is it possible that we can make an operating system that's so easy to use? Within a day, I was like, wait, this is exactly what the future should be. Because at the time, I was working at Google in the mobile advertising space, where we can see the growth of Android and how people are using Android. So we looked into the group and said, the future of computing is going to be Android. So let's focus on this and start a company and do this.
In early 2015, Jide showed up at the annual Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas with a tablet and keyboard that looked like a Microsoft Surface. But instead of Windows, the Jide Remix Ultra ran a customized version of Android with a desktop, a taskbar, and support for running Android applications in Windows that could be positioned anywhere on the screen. I reviewed that tablet for Lilliputing and found that the operating system was promising, but a little bit clunky. Some of the apps would only run in full screen mode, and when you shrunk most apps, they'd have to run in phone-shaped windows. But Jide's continued working on Remix OS, and I've been pretty impressed with the progress that the company's made. Now you can drag the edge of any app window to make it any size that you'd like. That makes it easy to view three, four, as many apps as you want on the screen at one time. After releasing the first tablet, Jide released a desktop computer towards the end of 2015. The Remix Mini is a tiny box that's small enough to hold in one hand, and it's cheap. You can buy one for about $70. Plug in a keyboard, mouse, and display, and you've basically got a desktop computer that you can use to surf the web, edit documents, play games, and do many other things. Jide doesn't just sell the hardware, though. The company offers its software to other device makers for free. In fact, Ko says Jide is primarily a software company that started making hardware because it was the only way to showcase Remix OS.
When we started the company early 2014, we shop around and talk to a lot of hardware devices and say, we will be providing you with the software. Would you like to be interested in doing a large screen tablet with keyboard and mouse? And a lot of companies will be laughing at us and say, people are looking at 7 and 8 inch only. Why are you doing a large screen tablet? People don't use tablets for productivity. But once we have built our first tablet, then you will see that the response from other manufacturers coming to us and say, hey, this is actually interesting.
Jide plans to continue making its own hardware, but now there are a few other Chinese device makers that offer products that run Remix OS. In early 2016, Jide also launched Remix OS for PC. Now anyone can download Remix OS, install it on a USB flash drive, and then boot a computer from it to give the operating system a try. Or you can install it to your hard drive so that Remix OS runs every time you turn on the computer. Or you can create a dual boot solution so that you can choose between Remix OS and Windows or another operating system. Ko acknowledges that right now the sort of people testing Remix OS for PC are geeks and early adopters that might not need a simple desktop operating system that runs Android apps. But those users are helping provide the feedback Jide needs to help improve its software. And ultimately, he sees big potential for Remix OS in emerging markets.
Where a lot of computers are sitting there doing nothing, people are still using their phone, and then they have an old computer, 3 years old computer sitting. And they realize that if they're running other operating system, it's very slow with an old machine. But since Android is a very lightweight operating system, if you're running it in a 3 to 5 years old computer, it actually runs very smoothly and runs very fast.
Jide isn't the only company looking to bridge the gap between mobile and desktop. As I mentioned earlier, Apple's trying to position iOS as a platform for productivity with new devices like the iPad Pro. And Microsoft is hoping users will use Windows phones to run mobile apps in a desktop environment. But right now, there aren't nearly as many mobile apps available for Windows as there are for iOS and Android. And Co. wants to make it easy for people using Android phones to use those same apps that they're already familiar with on a notebook or a desktop computer.
At the end of the day, it's not the operating system that is the most important thing. It's what's on that operating system. What can you do with that operating system? If that operating system does not have a good, strong ecosystem, particularly what I'm talking about is apps, then that operating system can only be used for a small amount of people. Because if you can't use your favorite apps, there's nothing you can do.
Another Chinese startup is developing an operating system called Phoenix OS, which is very similar to Remix. But Co. says he's happy to have the competition because it shows that Jide isn't the only company that thinks it's a good idea to make Android into an operating system that can run on desktop computers. Is it possible that a mobile operating system like Android, Phoenix, or Remix will one day replace Windows or OS X on desktops of millions of users? It's a bit early to say that for sure, but App Annie's Ross Rubin notes that companies like Microsoft are already well-positioned for a future where Windows is not the dominant operating system. Which makes sense, since more people around the world are using smartphones than desktop computers today. Microsoft already has mobile versions of Office that can run on Windows, Android, and iOS, and other companies are making mobile versions of their apps, too.
Does it scale up to something like an AutoCAD, where you need very high precision in terms of how you're manipulating things, or Photoshop, or something like that? We're starting to make more and more progress toward that. I think it's something that Microsoft has always been aware to the possibility of, and that's why becoming stronger in mobile has been so important to them, and why they've spent so much on remaking Windows for that environment and buying Nokia, because there's a concern that, you know, the smartphones of today may cannibalize the PCs of tomorrow, and that, of course, is their bread and butter.
As for Remix OS, it still has a long way to go before it's a real replacement for Windows. For one thing, a key selling point of the operating system is that it supports more than 1.5 million existing Android apps that you can download and install from the Google Play Store. But while the Play Store comes preloaded on many Android phones and tablets, including those that run Remix OS if they come with it pre-installed, if you install Remix OS on a computer yourself, the Play Store does not come with it. You have to install Google's App Store on your own. And you can find details about how to do that in the notes for this episode at lpxshow.com, but it's not as easy as just turning on your device and automatically having access to millions of applications. Google only allows the Play Store to be loaded on devices that meet specific requirements, but since Jide's making Remix OS available for anyone to download and install on thousands of different PC configurations, it's difficult for Google to verify that everything will work as it should on all of those different computers. David Koh says he's confident that all the apps that follow Google's guidelines will work just fine in Remix OS, but the company is still in talks with Google about including the Play Store so that users don't have to jump through hoops to be able to download and install third-party applications.
If we are shipping our software with a hardware device, let's say a tablet or a phone, you will need to ship that phone or tablet to Google for a certification. Now, for Remix OS for PC, this will be an interesting case because I don't think Google has ever seen something like this case, where we're actually shipping the software and we'll be running it on any devices across the board. So we are in constant conversation with Google and see if there are things that we can do, potentially highlight a few hardware configurations that says that Remix OS can run on a set of configurations and these are certified. But we're still in conversation with them. Google realized that this is a very new form factor, and obviously a new form factor coming in, they want to make sure that the experience and all the apps running on this new form factor will be running smoothly. So both sides are actually testing out to ensure that the experience works perfectly on all the applications.
Co. also acknowledges that some Android apps and features were clearly designed for touchscreen devices, and they don't work all that well with a mouse and keyboard. For example, some games expect you to touch the screen, not to click on a mouse button, and it'll be up to app developers to change that if operating systems like Remix OS become more popular. And right now, Remix OS is still an operating system for people using multiple devices, like a smartphone and a desktop or a notebook. While it allows you to use the same applications on both devices, you still need to download and install them separately, and to keep your data synchronized between those devices. Co. says it's possible that in the future, Remix OS might be able to run on smartphones. That would let you have a single device that would run Android applications on a touchscreen display when you're using it just as a phone, but then you could also plug in a keyboard, mouse, and TV monitor and run those same applications in a desktop mode. The company is not ready to make any official announcements about phone support yet, but it wouldn't be that different from what Microsoft is trying to do with Windows or what Canonical is doing with Ubuntu. Both of those companies are working on solutions that would let you use your smartphone as your only PC. That's it for this episode of LPX. Special thanks this time to my friends KT Bradford, Lori Gill, and Ross Rubin. You can find more of Lori's work at imore.com. And KT recently launched her own podcast about tools for writers. It's called The Write Gear, spelled W-R-I-T-E. And you can find it at hologramradio.com/thewritegear. You can find out more about Remix OS by visiting jide.com. That's spelled J-I-D-E.com. And as always, you can find links and more details about everything mentioned in this episode at lpxshow.com. You can also find details about past episodes at the website and links to follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And if you're an iTunes user, I'd also really appreciate it if you consider leaving a review in iTunes. It's a great way to help other people find out about the show. And if you're listening to this episode on or before February 28th, 2016, you can also visit lpxshow.com for a chance to win a free Bluetooth speaker from Zotac. Just visit the webpage for this episode, click on the contest link, and enter the code word, convergence. I'm Brad Linder. Thanks for listening.